Okay. I've got a couple of questions to ask you before I share a few words. Firstly, and there's going to be a slide up here, the first slide's going to appear. Put your hand up if you have harvested your field in the last few days. Amy has harvested her field. Okay, great. Okay, one person's got experience of that. Has anyone stripped their vineyard in the last week or so? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Very specifically doesn't, because I don't want anyone to say yes. Okay? No. Okay, none of you. So actually, we're going to need a little bit of context here for what I'm about to share. So we'll come back to that in a moment. But first, I just want to share a little bit of advice. And it wasn't really advice that was given to me before I got married, but this is a little bit of marriage advice. Or if one day you aspire to get married, this is a little bit of advice for you. Mostly if you've got a big appetite. So if you want to get married and you've got a big appetite, here's my advice for you. That they don't tell you in how to find the perfect partner. Don't marry someone that's got a bigger appetite than you. Okay? That's my advice to you. I married really well. Okay? Because I've got a big appetite. And Amy doesn't have a particularly big appetite. So often if we go for dinner or if it's a meal that I'm particularly enjoying at home, even before I finish mine, I'm looking at her plate. Oh, come on. There are other people in this room that do this. I know it. And I'm looking at her plate and I'm thinking, is she going to finish all that? I don't think she's going to finish all that. I might be in for seconds here. Anybody else? Yeah, okay, great. There are others in the room. And it's so disappointing when she does finish it. But, you know, can't begrudge her that, to be honest. So, but whilst I benefit from the leftovers on Amy's plate, after I've already had my fill of food, there are other people. Oh, I should have flicked through that. That was meant to be Amy. But but it's not, because she's got a small appetite. There are other people in our world and in our city, in our very city, who don't have a plate of their own to start with, who don't have a plate of food to begin with. There are people that in a moment of crisis sometimes, or just on a day-by-day basis, cannot afford to buy the food they need to live on. And some of that is just because it's so expensive to live nowadays, to pay for rent or a mortgage or something like that. Low wages, what people get paid. So it can make it really difficult for people. But here's a few facts for you. There are over 430 food banks in the UK belonging to the Trussell Trust, which is what the food bank we've been supporting over the last month belong to. Over 430 around the country, food banks giving food packages to people that need it the most, that can't afford to feed their families. Last year, 1.6 million 3-day food packages were given out to people that needed it. And one more. One in five children, so on this row, one of you would live in a food insecure home. Now, what that means is that's a home without reliable access to enough food to provide nutrition for the people that need it. They're shocking statistics, aren't they? In our country, in our city, these things are happening. Now, this has always been the case. There has always been poverty. There have always been people around the world, everywhere, that haven't had enough to eat. And in the Old Testament, in the Bible, there were commandments given to God's people to ensure that they looked after the poorest and most vulnerable people. Not just to give your leftovers when you've eaten enough, but to make sure that a portion of what you own or what you earn is set aside for people. So it's not just, oh, when you're full up, give the rest away. It's no. Right at the start, some of that is for the people that need it the most. Now, before we get to our little Bible verse we're going to read, wealth in the Old Testament, so how rich you were, had a lot to do with your land. Did you own any land? So the wealthiest people were the people that did own land, had big chunks of land. And then there were people that got to work on the land and they got to earn a living and provide for their families. But then there were people, the peasants, the peasant class they call it, that weren't even able to work for their living and provide for their families. So that's just a little context to the verse we're about to read. So this was one of the commandments that was given to God's people to protect the poorest. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. That's not talking about aliens from outer space. It's talking about people from other lands, from different countries, strangers. Isn't this powerful as a verse? What this is saying to us is this. Don't just say, oh, it's their fault that they're poor. Let them sort it out themselves. It's saying, you, people of God, God's people, are responsible to take care of the most vulnerable in your society. You're responsible to count part of what you've got, not just for yourselves, but to set it aside for someone else. Don't even touch it. It belongs to the poorest. So God makes it the responsibility of his people to look after the most vulnerable. And that hasn't changed. And for us, over this last month, the food bank has been a small way of us together doing that. Not just giving the leftovers, but giving a portion of our wealth to the people that need it the most. And it's amazing to see that overflowing and to see more out the back as well. Everyone's done a brilliant job of doing that. But one more thing, something else happens when we do that. When we give to those that need it the most, something else is going on there. And we find out what it is in the New Testament, in the Gospels. We find that in doing that, we see and meet God there. When we give to the poor, we find God there. Here's some words from Jesus in Matthew 25. And he's talking about the end of all things when we stand before God. And this is what Jesus says. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, he's talking about people that are standing before God, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will say and answer him, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? We don't remember doing that to you. And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So when we care for the poorest, the most vulnerable, we're caring for God himself. God so identifies with the most vulnerable. God is their father and mother. What we do for them, we do for God. Now, I've said we've done that by way of giving food to the food bank, but I think there's lots of ways that we can do this, that we can set aside a portion of our wealth. Because wealth isn't just to do with money and food. We can be wealthy and rich in so many different ways. So I've got a few things that I think we can practice, even once we've stopped giving to the food bank, that can spill over into the whole of our lives. One is our friendships. There are so many people that are lonely in our world, that don't even have a friend or someone to speak to. Lots of elderly people that are isolated. But more than that, people in our schoolyards, at work, wherever we are, that are lonely. And many of us are wealthy in friends and friendship. Can we set aside a portion of our lives to befriend people that need it, that are lonely. Maybe introduce them to other people, but to befriend people that are lonely. Can we give of our time to serve people that perhaps need it, that need help with different things, different tasks? Maybe at school, at work, maybe people that are neighbours that need help in different ways. And as we've talked about, food, money, resources. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for so many ways in which we are blessed. In this room, we are so wealthy compared to so many people in our city, in our world. And even if there are people in this room, Lord, that don't feel like that, we pray that we would look out and we would notice one another, those that need support, encouragement, help. Give us eyes to see. Give us generous hearts. May we follow in the footsteps of Christ, who overflowed with love and generosity, who gave of his own life for the sake of others. May we follow that example in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I think I'm inviting you forward now, aren't I, Gemma? We may be singing a song. Okay. Just give me a moment. I think you may need to stand for this song because it's a bit livelier. Not that I'm expecting you to dance or anything, but stand, please. Join us. We're going to sing Over All the Earth.
Children, if you just want to come and sit down now, but what I thought would be really nice was just for us, as we pray for this food, as we dedicate it, for us to, children, you can go and sit down. It was for them to just bring a little bit of it forward. I know we've got the crate there as well. Sorry. Guys, sit down now. That's fine. So that we can just see a small portion of the food that has been brought in. And all I'm going to do is just do a short prayer, and then I'm going to ask Amy to come up and read a slightly more traditional harvest prayer. Want to come up now? Okay, so, Father God, as we offer our gifts to you, we thank you for your provision for us, and we ask that we would never take for granted what we have or look down on those who have less. We ask that these gifts of food would be used to help those in need in our society, the hungry, the lonely, the vulnerable, showing them your love in a practical and tangible way, whilst reminding us all of your grace, justice, and hope. We pray for those who will be giving out these gifts, that you will encourage and bless them as they respond directly to people in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear God, each season brings something new for us to see and enjoy. With sunny days and rainy days, our crops grow larger. Fruit and vegetables ripen, ready for us to harvest. Thank you for all of the food we have to eat. Let us remember people that may not have enough. Let us be kind to others in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who has taken part in this service today, which is all of you. It's been just a fantastic time. Now, a few notices to finish the service. First one, before I forget, and I should have said this at the beginning, do not mention the rugby score to Helen Price, okay? Or to any Welsh people that are waiting to find out what the rugby score was today. If you know, this is a rugby-free zone, no talking about it, okay? Unless you want her to be very unhappy with you. Secondly, we have got our church lunch after the service.